This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's hour one of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a great day. We are off and running. And wow, what a story broke last night. Alden Smith is a Cowboy. Has not played since 2015, but he's coming aboard to man the outside. Right defensive end. Is that the leader in the clubhouse? Is that the most likely player to start, Jeff? This is wild prediction times, right? You have Tyrone Crawford.
Yeah, that's what makes it a great question. Tyrone Crawford, assuming he's here, whether they mess with his contract or whatever, where is he playing? I will say this. I dig all the optimism, and I feel some of it, but both Randy Gregory and Alden Smith, I kind of view the same way, where it's like, all right, I'm excited about what could be, but I'm planning for what I know is. So I'm planning for Tyrone Crawford, and I'm hoping to hear about a reinstatement for Alden Smith and for Randy Gregory. And it's a low risk, potentially high reward. So you bought a lottery ticket, and I don't think the odds are horrible that it works out, but I can't be inconsistent. I talk about how Dez hasn't been in the league in years, and I think that's tough. And 4 years is a long time away. Now, in the case of this guy, it sounds like we're talking about a big change in life circumstances and an alcohol problem that is no longer.
Yeah,
that's what
it
sounds like.
That's big.
Which can be big, but he is now on the other side of 30. I'm excited about it because it's no guaranteed money. It's very incentive-based. Get sacks, you get paid. I'm excited about it, but for the moment, I'll say Tyrone Crawford is your right end.
Yeah, it does give you a couple of chances, right, with Randy and Alden Smith, but there's no guarantee on that. Both of them could disappoint you. You know, you could go 1-for-1. You could go 2-for-2, though, and be like, look at this. Now we're bringing Randy and Alden and Tyrone, and we do have 6 or 7 guys here on this team that can get after the quarterback.
And Alden is a 19.5 sack guy once upon a time. Now, it's been a long time, but that is what he was once upon a time. And until Nick Bosa came along, Alden Smith had the most pressures as a rookie in Pro Football Focus's history.
Wow.
So Alden Smith has natural ability to go get the quarterback, and you're counting on some of that to, and that's why I probably wouldn't say, hey, he's the starter, because 4 years removed, I'll have questions about you technically and your ability down in and down out, but I don't have questions, at least that many, about, hey, it's third down, go get him. I think that's what he could probably bring right away.
Brian, we're asking, put something on it. Who's the starting right defensive end for 2020 for the Cowboys?
Yeah, I think initially I'm with Jeff. I would go with Crawford there. And then now let's see where the reinstatements fall. And if, in fact, you catch a break where you get Gregory and you get Alden Smith back, back in the fold as far as NFL circles, I think that's the cherry on top. But we're all right. I mean, I'm going to get into him at 240 as far as what I saw watching him play. But this to me is about, and I think this all started right with Jay Glazer. You know, Jay Glazer was the one that broke the story, right? Jay Glazer's been doing work with Alden Smith. I have a feeling that Jay Glazer has gotten a hold of Stephen Jones and has talked about Alden Smith and said, hey, this is what Alden's been doing. He's been sober. He's healthy. I've been working him out. Take a look at him, Steven. If you have any questions, hey, go down the hallway and ask Jim Tomsula what he thought about the guy. You know?
Yeah.
And so this isn't – I don't think this is Will McClay sitting there going, you know, I was thinking about Alden Smith the other day. You know, here I'm in the middle of working on my draft board, but you know what? I wonder what Alden Smith's doing nowadays.
Do you trust Jay Glazer to gauge how athletic he is?
I think
because you haven't done a workout or anything.
Yeah, I think Jay Glazer is one of those guys that's trained athletes. You know, he's one of those mixed martial arts guys, and you know, he understands things. But he's doing Stephen Jones a favor here. You know, he's thinking, who could I put this player with that it's going to work out for him, that they'll look out for him, you know, that it'll be a good fit for him. You know, they'll talk about all the things that the Cowboys have, the off the field program. Bassick brought up some good points. Well, why have they not had some success? Well, they haven't had success because some of those things that Jerry Jones has been leaning on has let him down. Yeah. And I think some of those things have changed. You got Rob Davis now in the building. He came from the Packers. He was a player programs guy. He's like the assistant head coach, they call him.
I like it.
So now, okay, what are you going to do, Rob Davis? I got two guys I got to look after. I got to look after Randy Gregory, and I got to look after Alden Smith. You know, that's your job now. You know, keep those players eligible. Keep them eligible. We got a chance here.
And it looks like Alden Smith is looking after himself like never before, taking responsibility for things popping up in his life, talking last night on social media about no longer looking at himself as a victim and being thankful and feeling blessed for his opportunities. So he is a different guy, you know, and he's been sober. Yeah,
we hope.
And, you know, any time you have a guy that's gone on a sobriety mission, any one you should probably bet against. But the last one they get right, and when you go through things like this and have things taken away from you and think it's never going to come back, now he has a really good shot of making this thing stick. You can't be too sure of it, though. We've seen players, you know, like one example, same team, Daryl Strawberry, he came out of it so well. He's like a sobriety coach and is invested in sobriety centers across the USA. His teammate, Doc Gooden, still struggles.
Yeah.
And it's sad when you see him on TV, like, holy cow, he might be on the stuff right now. You know, and then you think of Josh Hamilton, and for years we thought, wow, isn't Josh Hamilton a great comeback story? And then boom, Sherlock's, and it's like he's retired, but he's a family man, and it's like, boom, you know, just what happened last season after he had his big night at the ballpark, he had an embarrassing episode. So, you know, whenever you're dealing with somebody going through sobriety, you can't be sure. But right now he's looking at about, you know, 4 or 5 months to stay on the right track. And what better time now than during a pandemic to stay focused on the business at hand, right?
Yeah, he give him an opportunity. Well, yeah, you're right, Jeff.
I've seen the numbers. Hard liquor consumption is up about 75%.
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
People aren't coping that way.
Yeah, people are not coping very well at all. Yeah. But
I thought there'd be less problems if he couldn't leave the house.
Yeah, we'd say but Chinese divorce is up too, right? Is that another thing we talked about that?
Yeah.
I mean, you may not get in trouble with the alcohol, but you might be handling up on it pretty strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that we have to look and see what the new program, the new systems are for the Cowboys. For years it's been the Calvin Hill model and, you know, doctors that they brought in and all that. Let's see if this Rob Davis is really as good as everybody thinks he is. You know, and I told you guys, if I had a player that I knew that I needed, he could come live with me. You know, I'll get you to work every single day. You know, that's what they should have done with Dez Bryant initially with him, in my opinion.
Live with you?
Yeah, well, somebody live with him. Teach him how to be a pro. Hey, today we're going to study film. We're going to talk about who you're going to play against. Tuesdays you're going to do charity work. Wednesday, you know, have a plan in your life. Dez has done a good job with his life now, but the early days of Dez were a struggle. And so now if you have somebody, Josh had the sobriety coach or the accountability coach and all that. If you have somebody that can really put their thumb down on you and keep you on that path to get you through the tough times, you can come out on the other side of this and be all right.
Good news is the offseason is the time for optimism, so I just want to paint you a picture.
That you don't want Chase on?
Hey, this is my picture!
I've already been there on my video, by the way.
Did you not want Chase on?
No,
I haven't looked at your video yet.
Too risky.
I usually retweet it.
I appreciate that, bro.
Yeah.
It's 3rd and 7.
Okay.
Playing the Eagles.
NASCAR.
They're trying to drive down there. It's, you know, 40. They're on their own 41-yard line.
Defense.
Place is going nuts. Winners going to
the postseason. Maybe we have a crowd. Maybe not.
And out there on the right
decibels
side.
Decibels are in the high double digits.
You got Alden Smith, who once upon a time had 19 and a half sacks in a year, looking around and staring down the left tackle, and he's going, "You're my B word, and I apologize for the language because I'm clean and sober and a nice guy now, but you're about to be my B word."
Yeah.
And Tank Lawrence is lined up next to
Andre
him.
Dillard. Andre Dillard's looking at him, yeah.
And next to him is Gerald McCoy in a 4-point. He's going frogman just for fun. And then on the other side is Randy Gregory, and he's skipping around. He's like, "Oh, I can't wait for you to snap this ball because you got a second and a half to get this thing off before we are on you, baby." The NASCAR package could be fun. Could be.
You could charge for that kind of titillation with a 1-900 number, Jeff.
Thanks.
That got me excited.
And then here comes Ke'Lavon Chaisson on the blitz.
Oh,
the
now you're fibbing.
All right, here comes Kenneth Murray tearing off the edge, a new linebacker.
There you go. There you
go. Give me that corner locking down and man coverage.
Yeah, we're talking about that at 420 today. We got a guy who'll talk about some lockdown guys. Yeah.
You are talking about 47 and a half sacks in 59 career games to start his career, and then things started getting squirrely on him after he had the success. So he was locked in for a while. He had his best season under Jim Tomsula in 2012. Jeff mentioned 19 and a half sacks. Then the DUI in 2013, substance abuse violations, 2015 hit and run DUI and vandalism, and then more substance abuse suspensions. And then had a 2-year deal with the Raiders in 16, but he got into two domestic violence situations over the next 2 years, prevented him from playing, then led to his release. And the Cowboys are reportedly believing a renewed commitment to sobriety will help him be a good player and a dependable person. So it was a rocky road.
Oh, no.
Sorry, my bad. I meant to hit the gun.
Oh, no.
Is this your king, by the way? Yeah. Is this your king? Wow. Is he you want to ride with? Oh, God, this guy's crazy.
Man.
He was crazy. He was drunk.
Yeah,
he's
was.
He's sober now.
A couple years ago, on the heels of the Greg Hardy thing, there's no way you could sign this guy or any team could sign this guy. But it's been a while now since the mania that took over the NFL and domestic violence. And I'm sorry to call it mania because we were on the wrong side of how serious we were taking it. There was a big overcorrection. And now it's kind of like, okay, maybe we shouldn't ban these guys for the rest of their lives. Maybe there should be an opportunity once you've proven you deserve it. And I think Alden Smith's back to a spot that he deserves it now.
Hope you're right there, Jerry. Yeah.
Because he is a guy that's gotten a lot of chances. It's a lot of different DUIs that you went through. So he's had a lot of chances, and that's why this comes with no guaranteed money. But this goes back to something that that Brian taught me doing the draft like 3 or 4 years ago. I forgot which player it was, and he goes, "Okay, but this is reality in the NFL." As you sit in that room and you go, "Okay, this guy," and somebody goes, "Oh, he got in this trouble," and you go, "Okay. You want to play him twice a year? Because he's going to be in the league.
Yeah.
He's playing for somebody. Do you want him to beat you or do you want him to help you?" And so, you know, if he's allowed to play and hopefully on the straight and narrow and hopefully sober, give him a shot.
Yeah, that's why I'm doing radio with you now, Jeffrey, because I had all those thoughts about it, taking bad character guys. But no, I mean, I think you do have to give the full evaluation here. And Stephen Jones is trusting Jay Glazer. I fully believe that's the case right now. And Jim Tomsula's there like, "Hey, I'll put my arm around him. I'll work with him every day. Whatever you need me to do, coach, I'll do it. I'll do it." So that's if you get that kind of support, it's a little bit easier to walk this one through.
Well, especially because he's not a guy that had a reputation for being disruptive, you know? That's the thing with alcohol. It makes you totally insane. So you can be fine when you get there in the morning and you're like, "Hey, I'll see you guys." And then you go get drunk and it triggers these deep-seated emotional things that, you know, relationships bring out. And you're a complete idiot. But the next morning, you're not that idiot. That's not who he truly is. You know, some players are that idiot 24/7, right? They don't need beer to be a complete train wreck to deal with in a pretty corporate environment of the NFL.
Yeah, we all have friends that are bad drunks.
They send you a text the next morning and say, "Hey, man, did I do anything crazy last night?"
"I almost knocked
you good, bro.
I almost knocked your ass out last night is what I did to get you out of that bar."
That's a tough text to have to send.
We've all been there. Yeah.
Okay. All righty.
I should have left 4 beers earlier, and I'm sorry, so sorry.
Man, I put you in a headlock that one night, Jeff. Got you out of that place, right?
If it makes you feel any better, I've got a giant headache, and I just vomited, and I'm sorry.
So was O.J. Simpson doing April Fool's yesterday talking about that stuff that we played the video on? He did do an April Fool's joke on Twitter later on where he tweeted this little cartoon of a cartoon O.J. stabbing people on a
golf
course.
Shut up. Oh, no.
He did.
No, he didn't. No.
He tweeted. He
hey,
actually,
Twitter world, I did it.
Yeah, that's it.
April Fool's.
April Fool's. He said, I did it, and posted an animation.
I don't follow the man. I'm sorry. Did he really
do
that?
It got retweeted onto my feed. Oh. From Miss some.
Are you serious? That was really OJ's account?
It really happened.
Okay, hey, this is the same man that wrote a book saying, if I did do it.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got that on my shelf somewhere.
I feel like.
Next to all those shoes, I've noticed.
Like, sometimes I'm scratching my head thinking, man, did he do it or not? Like, I don't think he probably did it. he's either extremely stupid or extremely confident about it.
Yeah. I mean, if I had pulled something off like that and got away with it, I don't know. I'd be in hiding.
But Indonesia.
He struts around like it's all good in a way that makes you actually double think that a little bit. Yeah. Okay, when we come back, it's a little Alden Smith Twitter, some of the best reactions around the NFL nation to the signing, and then we'll have the G-Bag of the Day here for you on The Fan. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It's time to take a look at Alden Smith Twitter. Love that. Other stuff happening with the Cowboys. Look at Nui Scruggs writing for the Morning News. Is this new? Nui? Pun intended. Yeah, it says, forget targeting CeeDee Lamb and other top wide receivers in the draft. The Cowboys need to focus their attention elsewhere. He's going after Team 40 Burger, Jeff Kavanaugh. This is right upside your face from our guy, Nui.
No, I went at him. I already told him what's what. Yeah, I already got Nui all squared away. I told him because he mentioned CeeDee Lamb in the headline, like, forget CeeDee Lamb, right? And I was like, well, if CeeDee Lamb made it to number 17, he'd be the best player on the board. And if you didn't pick him, you'd be doing a disservice to your entire team. So we won't worry about that little headline, Nui.
Okay, all right. But what do you think about his overall point that, you know, they've neglected defense for too long and taking a wide receiver would be a luxury? I mean, he does kind of have a point that with Michael Gallup and Amari Cooper, you're kind of loaded. Wide receiver is going to be a strength.
You're still short one, unless, like Brian was mentioning yesterday, if you're comfortable with Cedric Wilson as your third guy, I mean, you're entitled to feel that way. But to me, this is the point of the draft is not, I need this, therefore I pick this. That's how you get Taco.
Yeah.
I need a corner.
He is not wrong about that.
I need a defensive end.
Great point, Jeff.
That's how you pick Taco.
That is not wrong.
I'm here to pick the best player. Build your roster through free agency in a way that allows you to pick the best player or very, very close to it, and you'll be better off. That's why when I saw CeeDee Lamb's name in there, like if you were to tell me, hey, all things being equal, as far as the prospects are concerned, this team needs more help on defense, I'd say, gotcha. I understand. But if you say ignore a better player because you need something somewhere else, I'd say, well, you messed up free agency, didn't you?
Well, they did it last year when they took the guard in the third round, guard center. He's liable to be a starter for you. You know, they didn't need an extra offensive lineman there.
Right.
You know, with
which makes that the good
Connor
pick,
McGovern.
Right?
They didn't need that. And they're like, well, heck, we got a second round grade on him. Let's take him. This guy could very well be your starter at center. And now it's because you took the best player on your board. That's smart
before,
football.
And the it round before you didn't. And
look
how that one worked out.
I think it's a good thing to do, but doing it with your first pick in the draft when you need an influx of talent and you can't afford misses, you know, those later rounds are when you gamble, Brian. You know?
But General, if you're sitting there and you have questions, okay, I should say we have questions. They might not have any questions about Chaisson.
Okay.
They might not have any questions at all about Chaisson. Heck, they might not have any questions about Delpit, the safety, you know? But the fact that, and if they take those guys, that's on them. You know, but there are enough people who are saying, well, I have a concern about this, and I have a concern about this, and I have a concern about this. You know, that if they have none of that, then that's on them.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, we had our concerns about Tristan Hill. But they also, you know, they pinned them. They backed themselves into that corner they did.
We have breaking news here, Jeff, you need to jump to.
I'm sorry, Jeff. I didn't see what you were doing there.
Oh, no, this is just for Gavin.
Oh.
Dez Bryant tweets a couple minutes ago, Dak and myself just finished a great workout session. Picked
there
up where we left off. Dak and Dez.
Did they have anything together?
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're right where you left off, missing on back shoulder
like
fades.
Everybody going to chase the ball after it was on the ground?
Less than 50% completion.
Yeah. Come on, Dak.
No, you want to start off on a new place. We get it, Doug. Yeah, Dez, and yeah. I love that Dez is working now. Dak can go back to Will and say, "Hey, Dez still has it. Maybe this can't be our third receiver, but he could be number four or number five." I think the base rates apply here, though, Brian. Pass rushers in the second half of the first round, big hit, big miss rate, and
talk to Atlanta about Tack McKinley. It's unfortunate.
Pittsburgh
with Watt.
But this one of the downsides of winning as much as the Cowboys do. They're rarely in the spot where you can have a good shot when you take a defensive end, and that's in the top 10. So you're taking them down here, and you're setting yourself up to swing and miss. If you want a prospect, go do it on day two. Don't do that stuff with my first pick.
They managed to win too much and not enough all at the same time.
Right, yes.
They're on the dang treadmill.
Let's get some Alden Smith Twitter reactions. I love Scooter Magruder. He tweeted, checks the date, realizes it is April 1st, sees other tweets confirming. What? It was April Fool's Day, and that was a lot of people's reaction to that Alden Smith signing. It was like, wow, okay. What's this? What was? Yeah. Oh man. No, he was that guy. Holy crap! You know, there was a couple of dudes there that were with that 49er team. There was a linebacker as well that was just like every time you turned around, it was booze and beating up their old lady, and he was one of them. Looks like he's gotten his life together. How about Matt Maiocco, Bay Area reporter? He tweeted, "Wishing the best to Alden Smith in his comeback attempt. He'll be reunited with former defensive line coach Jim Tomsula, who showed a lot of compassion and empathy when the club felt it had no choice but to release him in August 2015. I like to believe the narrative here is Alden Smith's finally ready to make a return to pro football. He's finally grown up enough at age 30, and he wants to come back to the Cowboys because that's where Jim is. That's where he feels comfortable."
Yeah. That makes perfect sense. You know, if you've got – Stephen Jones needed a couple of things to happen here. Jay Glazer, while we were on air, I got a text from somebody that I trust about this, and they said, don't put past him the Doug Hendrickson, the agent. Doug Hendrickson has a great relationship with Stephen Jones as well. So now you have agent, friend of the program, if that's what you want to call Jay Glazer – and then you go and talk to Jim Tomsula. Now Stephen Jones has got people lining up and like, it's going to cost us what? Okay, yeah. If we're going to dance, let's go dance. Hendrickson was part of the Bennett stuff too that they were able to do last year. So I had a friend of the program text me as that was going on as well.
And you would trust an agent if he's like, oh yeah, my guy's in shape, Steve.
Well, he was.
Here's the guy you
want.
Yeah,
he's like, well, hey, how do you want to structure this deal? My guy needs an opportunity.
Okay.
I'm coming to you with hat in hand. Uh-huh. My guy needs a job. He could help you. And is Steven's got guys lining up, but it makes a little bit more sense now.
I loved Calvin Watkins tweeting one note on Alden Smith. He's 275 with 6% body fat. That's just the freakish stuff.
I'm going to call it exaggeration.
Maybe at one point, maybe when he was 21 years old, those were his stats.
Yeah.
Might be a little bit.
He
higher
might
right
be
now.
A freak the way he looks, though. My gosh,
he's got that Herschel Walker metabolism, doesn't he?
He, you know what? He's so. I forgot how long he was on tape when I watched him. I mean, his knuckles are dragging the ground. That's how. I mean, he is a long, long guy. And he, like I say, we'll get into it at 240. What I saw on that tape, kind of give you a little bit of idea what at one time he was able to do.
We're 12 minutes from a Brian Broaddus scouting report on the Cowboys' new defensive end. He gets just a little bit more than league minimum, and then a lot of it is incentive-based here, games played, how much he's active, and then how many sacks he gets. He can get up to $4 million or something. So it is a risk-reward type of move for the Cowboys. It's time now for the G-Bag of the Day, and a vacated title awaits today's contenders. The Tom Hanks seal going 5-time yesterday. And we head back to the Pimp Cup where Lucius Alexander standing by. Good afternoon, sir.
Play this real quick.
Coronavirus!
Okay, let's get right into it, bro.
Okay.
You know Kevin Hart, the comedian, he goes, all right, you're going to learn today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what were you going to say, dog?
Wasn't that the other actor, too, that does the all right?
There you go.
They're kind of related.
You in the groove.
Okay.
All right, so people are bored. They don't know what to do at home, so they started this little controversy.
Okay.
They're saying, Matthew McConaughey, you got Kevin Hart out here doing the all right in his bits, and he's getting paid for it. How do you feel about it, sir?
Pretty damn sure I'm the author. I remember the day I said it. First words I ever said on screen, 1992, summer, on Days Confused, and I actually said it off screen. And it stuck, but he's welcome to use it whenever he wants because it is an affirmation of whatever three things you got going. All right.
That's beautiful, bro. That's beautiful. That
whatever
beautiful.
Three things you got going.
Yeah. What a great character, too. I didn't realize that was his debut. That was his acting debut. He really hit the ground running.
Killed it.
I hated that one character in that movie, the one kid who just kept doing this. He kept grabbing the middle of his nose and eyes and Dazed and Confused. If you don't know,
socially awkward
about,
like a freshman.
Well, yeah, but nobody does that. He just, like, he never stopped the whole movie. Like, that was his move.
That movie was shot at Pacific Palisades High School in California. Same place where Arnie Spanier went to school. I noticed because he told me every night. That really? Movie was shot at my school. They were at my school. Forrest Whitaker, I remember him from high school, blah, blah, blah.
Pretty
blah,
school, too.
Yeah. He had the funniest claims to fame that would reappear every now and then. Yeah.
Can't believe they didn't put me in the movie. Yeah. I would have been the best lead.
All right.
We got Mickey Leeper. That's a comedian named Mickey Leeper. And this is when he realized his father was a player.
My dad cheated on my mom a bunch for decades. And we never knew. And when I found out, it was very sad. You know, but then I thought about it more, and I was like, I should have seen this coming, right? Because I had like a cool dad, which is, that's not what you want. That's not good. My dad was like real into taking care of himself. He worked out a lot. He was well-read. And I always thought that he did that stuff because he was cool. But now I realize it's because he was single. That's the only reason you do any of those things, you know? I hate to say it, but if your dad is tan, he's up to something. If your parents been married for 20 years, your dad better look exactly like Paul Giamatti. Yeah. It's, you know, every time I see a 50-year-old dude at the gym now, I just want to shove him off the elliptical and be like, your family has a right to know the truth.
Hey, not an unfair point.
Coronavirus!
Minky Leeper, put it all together. Dad was out there, couldn't let lifestyle go, Cody.
Nah, not at all.
Couldn't move on.
Yo, so if your father had like a divorce when you were, you know, teenage years, he's probably like 40-something, you're entering into your 20s, late 20s, that's a good time to clean up. Because he's dating women that are 40-some-odd years old. They have daughters that are 20-something years old. It's right there in your lap, bro. Trust me from experience. It's right there in your lap.
Get some quality time with your dad.
Yeah.
Part of the deal.
Yeah, that's what you need. Quality like time. That's what we call it.
That's perfect.
On the way home.
What's up, Pops? Good to see you again.
A West Plano karaoke bar.
Yeah.
The girls are like, oh, this is so cool. Your father's son. How unique. It's like, no, it happens all the time, baby.
All the time. You and your mother both put a lot of money into your breasts. How are you guys tonight?
All righty.
We got an old man wrote a coronavirus song about the Rona.
The world has caught a virus, so I've written you a poem. We need your help to cure it, so stay the f*** at home. And if you have got 12 kids or you're living on your own, lock it down and isolate and stay the f*** at home. If you think you're not at risk here, you're living in a dome. It spreads faster than a hooker's f***, so stay the f*** home. I need the gym, I need the beach, I hear you bitch and moan. You need to grow a brain cell and stay the f*** at home. But I feel fine, I don't feel sick. I'll go out on my own. How thick are you, you selfish f***? Please just stay the f*** at home. From LA through to Berlin, from Wuhan through to Rome, there's people dying every day, so stay the f*** at home. If you need to contact family, use Facebook, Skype, or phone. We've got the f***ing internet, so stay the f*** at home.
Yeah, it's hitting the fan out there on the headlines, isn't it? I see it blowing up.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
they
hot.
Were saying,
it's hot.
Yeah. I was starting to disbelieve them last week. I was like, man, the peak's not coming. You know, the social distancing has done it. But the numbers are getting up there now. A little out of control.
Yeah.
So we'll keep our fingers crossed and stay the bleep at home.
One more.
Okay.
One more.
All right.
Okay, so you remember the Joe Exotic guy, right?
Yeah.
He had a reality TV show. I don't remember what it's called.
Tiger King.
No. Not the Netflix one, but the one he had by himself.
Oh.
He had his little producer and everything. He used to go on there and just like spit tirades about people he didn't like or whatever.
Oh, okay. Yes, I've heard about this.
Okay. So that producer is like, wait a minute. That Netflix documentary is just a taste of everything. Here's a little bit more.
I have one story that I'll never forget. This one day, this poor old woman drove in with a horse trailer. And Joe said, Rick, get your camera. Come record this. And the lady was crying. She had a horse in this trailer that was so old she couldn't take care of it. And she said, Joe, can you take care of this horse for me? And he said, oh, of course, we will. I'll give him a nice pasture to run in.
Uh-oh.
And the lady cried, and he hugged her. She drove off the park. By the time she got to the exit of the zoo, Joe told me, watch me, Rick, follow me with the camera. He walked right up to that horse trailer, pulled out his revolver, shot the horse in the head, then cut it up and fed it to the tigers. Mm. That was Joe Exotic on a daily basis.
I thought he was just going to skip the shooting part and feed it to the tigers.
Yeah,
slightly.
I thought he was going to give the horse a chance for sport, you know, toss him in the same enclosure.
Yeah.
Does Bob Costas work with Joe Exotic? That sounded like kind of a Bob Costas voice there.
He's a good announcer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking Bob Costas works with this guy.
He'd have a future in internet broadcasting if he wasn't a crazy tiger person too.
Yeah.
All right. Is it Matthew McConaughey with the all right origination? Is it Minky Leeper, the comedian, talking about his dad being a playa? Is it...
Hold on. I'm checking the fan text. Looks like I got the movies confused. Dazed and Confused was in Austin, and... Oh, it just moved. Crap.
What was that other one from the... Yeah, was it the 80s?
Yeah, they're damn near the same movie.
That's
the one in Cali
that
Arnie was talking about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just got a little mixed up there, y'all.
Is it the old man coronavirus song, or is it the Joe Exotic story right there? I'll start the voting as usual, and I'm gonna go with the Matthew McConaughey Kevin Hart story there. I like that one right there. How about you, Lucius?
I'm gonna go with this Joe Exotic thing. Yeah. Going with that again.
You know what? I'm all about the old man song.
Okay.
Okay.
It's a three-way tie at one, Jeffrey.
Considering the comedian, that was very good. But I'll go McConaughey.
By a score of 2-1. He's done it saying in 1992, I started doing that all right thing. It's caught on. You might notice Troy Aikman did it over the weekend. He did the opening ceremonies, the Gentlemen Start Your Engines for the virtual NASCAR race and the iRacing thing. And he started that thing all right. So it has become a part of pop culture, and we salute Matthew McConaughey for being the originator of it. He is the G-Bag of the Day champion now. Brought us the daily contents coming up next. Where are we going with it,
sir? We're
going
to take a look back at Alden Smith's game or season with the Oakland Raiders. Next.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It is time for Brian Broaddus' daily content. Here he is, Broaddus.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. Hope everybody out there is doing well, staying safe. Practicing that distance. It's all good. I went back and did a little Alden Smith homework for you guys.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And you know what? It's take advantage, folks. You know, the NFL.com, they're letting you go back and watch these games. You want to go back and watch this guy play in 2015 like I did? Take advantage of that. He's got, you know, find the number of games, go back. Look, I watched a few games on him. And you know what? I forgot, like I told you guys, I forgot how long he is. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, you know, if you look at, you know, where they play him as a right defensive end is what they were doing. And he was playing like as a stand up, almost like a stand up outside linebacker, you know? So they, you know, three down linemen, and then they had him standing up, but he was always playing the right side. So they never moved him around, and
which is why we needed to update our words and just call these guys edges instead of D-end or outside linebacker, because I'd imagine his job was to line up on the end of the line of scrimmage and rush the passer.
Well, Khalil Mack was on the other side, and
that helps.
Yeah, Khalil Mack, and they never moved Khalil Mack around, so that's why, you know. But I will say this about Alden Smith: they were doubling him far more than they were doubling Khalil Mack. When you watched them, we talk about what do defensive coordinators do? What do offensive coordinators do? Who are they worried about in these games? You know, who are the guys they want to take out of the game? Alden Smith, to me, watching his tape that year, looked like the offensive coordinators were far, far more worried about him than what was going on the other side of that on the other side of that defensive line.
Well, that is quite a compliment to a player.
Yeah.
It's Khalil Mack.
Well, yeah, and one of the games I was watching too was Chicago Bears, which was his best game. Six tackles, you know, some pressures, knocked down a pass. And, you know, he was going against Martellus Bennett in that game. You know, and Bennett at the time, pretty good blocker. You know, I mean, pretty good as far
for
as
tight end.
Yeah, yeah, getting into you, trying to stay engaged. But I'll tell you what, Alden Smith was playing. I'm having none of your stuff, Marty B, in this game. I mean, it was like one arm into the chest of Bennett. Keep the outside arm free and just lean and push as hard as you can to the quarterback. You know, and Jay Cutler's sitting back there thinking like, okay, I'm about to wear a tight end in my lap. Oh, I'm wearing a tackle in my lap. You know, that's the things that Alden Smith was able to do. That length, that reach. You know, keep those blockers off him, you know, and just to be able to control. That's what you want. You want your defensive ends to be able to control, use their hands, play with length, you know, keep those blockers right there on the line of scrimmage.
So at that point, do you think he was still in the conversation for the best pass rusher in the game?
Oh, he was – I think going back – and I was thinking, okay, I need to go back and look at 2015 and talk about – who the other guys were, you know, where's Julius Peppers? Where's some of the other guys in the league and stuff? But I watching him play, I get it. I get why he had success because of the body type, the arm length. You know, I didn't see a guy that was like an explosive player. I talk about explosive, that first step captures. He was more about, I'm going to get my left hand in you, I'm going to control you, and then I'm going to grab your corner, and I'm going to pull myself past you. Or I'm going to get up the field, I'm going to throw you aside, and then I'm going to get back in on the tackle. And I was super, super impressed with his ability, the way that he used his hands, and the way he was able to slip blocks was another thing that I was really impressed by that.
So how long his arms are? I just looked it up at his combine.
46.
No, 35 3/8.
Yeah. Okay.
So yes,
might as well be 46.
Super long.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's what I'm talking about. You have a guy that's built like that, and you know has that kind of frame, and you know let's see if he can kind of rekindle some of that magic that he had. But I love the way he pushed guys. I love the way he got rid of guys quickly. I like the way the redirection skill, that's something I think is really important. Now, have that ability to plant the outside foot, come back inside, work down the line of scrimmage. You know, those are all things that you want to be able to do as a pass rusher. And then also to be able to handle when the run comes at you. You know, don't be a guy that's going to get washed or moved out of space. This guy, when he extends on you, he's going to cause you some problems there.
What percentage of that player do you need to still be, a good player, the Cowboys' best option at that position?
How about if we get 75% of that guy? That fair?
That's fair and sounds doable.
Yeah, to me, that's if you're telling me that he still has and I assure you his arms didn't grow or didn't become shorter.
You never know. Weird things happen.
Well, I don't know. I'm guessing. I should have tried to get a little measurement when he was signing that contract yesterday.
Yeah.
Big-handed guy, though. I mean, physically, I just forgot how impressive he looked.
We saw Randy Gregory take a long layoff already, come back, be very productive in limited snaps. You know, what is it about the position that allows guys to take a layoff like this? Because I remember just a couple of years ago, we were trying to make a push for the Cowboys, I think, to get the linebacker Darrell Washington.
Right.
And they were like, oh, guy hasn't played in 2.5 years.
Right.
Here's one where it's even longer, and they're up for it.
Yeah. Jeff, you got something there?
I think based on that scouting report and the way that he wins, I think it's easier for somebody like Randy Gregory to after a long layoff, because what Randy Gregory's counting on is not the same things.
The initial quickness, the first step.
Counting on, I can get off this line of scrimmage before you, I can get around this corner, and when you're scared enough of that, I can come back inside of you. So, you know, that scouting report is great, but it's also a little worrisome to me because that is something that sounds like it comes with repetition, hand placement, being technically sound, being able to extend and get your arm length to be an advantage over them in order to go win. To me, that sounds like something that you really need to rep it. Whereas Randy Gregory, it's, yeah, I'm going to line up and I'm going to run around this dude.
Yeah, Randy is going to give you the least amount of hitting surface he can deliver. You know, the really good pass rushers are able to contort their body, General, in a way that where when the tackle tries to get their hands set on them, that they're going to lean and not give you body parts to hit. You know, it's like, oh, I've only got one hand on this guy, and now he's still coming up the field. Oh, wait, now he's at the level of the quarterback. Oh, I'm in trouble because now he's past me. You know, this Alden Smith is different. I see why he had success rushing the passer, because he's going to surprise you with his power. He's going to jam you with his hand. He's going to counter with the other hand. He's going to free himself, and then he's going to close on the play. So he doesn't have to win by not giving you a hitting service. He wins by getting his hand on you first and then controlling you and then getting to the football.
So you're talking about not only an athletic freak, but also a guy who's a tactician at his position?
Yeah, I think so. You give me a guy that, and Alden Smith says, that is able to use his hands and his feet together. You know, they work together. It's not like, oh, wait, I'm using my hands and now I got to bring my feet. It's like a concert. It's like a dance to him. You know, hit, grab, feet are going, I'm up the field. You know, those are the things that he was able to do. His length is problematic for tackles to have to deal with. It just is, because he's able, you know, when you're trying to get your hands on him, he's holding you off from getting on him. You know, he's not letting those hands. So he's not getting slowed down. He's carrying you inside of the pocket, or he's carrying you down inside on the inside rush. If he says, okay, I'm not going to go wide this time, I'm going to counter and I'm going to go back underneath. So now I'm going to jam you with my hand. I'm going to get you off balance, and then I'm going to go inside and make this play. So it was a good education for me to go back and watch this guy play and then have an understanding of why he had the type of success that he did.
How tough is it to maintain those moves when you don't have a team to practice with? Can you get this work done in individual stuff? You know, what does his offseason look like if he can't even get in and work with the coaches?
If he's working with Glazer and they're doing the MMA training, you know, that mixed martial arts stuff, you know, a lot of it is bag work, quickness work, you know, punch, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, if Glazer has a plan, I've seen his workouts and how he gets guys ready. You know, it's a lot of that quick hands, power, those things. He's working on those things that he was able to do when he was playing. So if we start hearing some reports from Glazer or some other people, I'm going to dig into some scouts and see if they have an idea of like, well, hey, what extra things is he doing? But I have a feeling, work with Glazer, and I've seen those workouts, a lot of hand work, a lot of quickness work, a lot of the feet, hands, that the combinations that I was talking about.
All right, that's great stuff. Once again, Brian, appreciate you as always.
Thank you. Appreciate
you. Scouting reports are outstanding. We want to thank some of our sponsors here at The Fan who continue to ride with us through the pandemic, D&M Leasing, The Frankels, Mark Rubin, 1-800-LAWYERS, a couple of outfits that have been with us since day one, DFW Security, NTX Fort Zero Res, salute to Budweiser, salute to Men's Tea Clinic, Platinum Ford, Heineken. Right on time, those guys. Salute to our friends at Premier Grilling. You guys are the best. Twin Peaks, Wingstop, Fort Worth Community Credit Union, Mortgage Financial Services. Our guy Brad Sullivan there, he's the man. Sleep Dallas, Brown Foundation Repair, Best Buy Windows, Smart Auto Leasing.
Yeah,
Brian,
thank you guys
over there.
Appreciate you guys. Yeah,
Jeff, anybody you need to shout out? You want to make sure?
Just Prospect. Prospect. Call of Duty buddy. That's really all I need to shout out. We got second last night. We needed you, Gavin.
Keeps riding with you through the tough times.
Yeah, we couldn't get a win last night, and one of them was my fault 100%.
Oh,
did you know that the in-game mechanic is if somebody sends you an invite to a game and you hit the square button, that it accepts their invite?
Oh, no.
And also, if you're trying to drop money for a teammate, you hit down on the D-pad, and then you hit the square button.
Yeah.
So we were in the perfect spot. The circle was shrinking. There's like 8 teams.
And you left him on accident.
And somebody invited me to a game, and I was trying to drop money. It accepted the game invite, threw us all out, and that was going to be our dub last night. And I ruined it.
Oh, man, that is very
disappointing. But why is it set up that way? Why, if somebody sends me an invite, should it be repetitive to something that's an in-game mechanic that I'm trying to just get the last UAV so that we can massacre these dudes, and you're going to kick me out of the game?
Yeah, that's brutal, man. That's it. That ain't right. I think you should write your senator about that.
So I'd like to apologize to Peyton. I'd like to apologize to Micah. And I'd like to apologize to the millions of people that were watching on Prospect's YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Because we were going to win that game.
Did your percentage go down, your win percentage?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I played 3 games yesterday. No wins.
Mm-mm. Wow.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
That's clearly not what God intended.
Yep.
Well, BS. I did manage to get a little play in last night, and I'm getting my skills back. I was playing just the regular team deathmatch and stuff, and I had some games where I was approaching 20 kills. So I think I might be ready to rock and roll and contribute just a little bit more. I'm not going to get ahead of myself.
How much more could you possibly contribute to a team that wins every time you play?
Hey, new hotspot popping up in rural Georgia we got to tell you about. Is DFW becoming a hotspot? There's latest stuff on that and more as we come back for hour number two of the G-Bag Nation. We'll be talking Cowboys with you. It's time for an NFL Draft Big Board Report. Should the Cowboys avoid drafting injured players or look to take advantage of the extra value? There's 5 players that match the description. We'll ask Jeff and Brian about those guys and broadcast with you next in the G-Bag Nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.